Good morning. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're continuing this series exploring our vision for ministry here at St. Timothy's. Who we believe God is calling us to be and how he is challenging us to live into that identity as his church here at St. Timothy's. And we're looking at these three pillars of ministry, and we finally got the font right. Hospitality, discipleship, and mission. And you can read it this week. It's good. I'm catching on. Maybe I'll get the hang of this one day. Today we're going to look at the next pillar in this series, the pillar of discipleship. And with this, we come to the next entry in what I suspect is going to be a career-long running series for me. My Church Words series. You know, to me, church words are words that we use in a church setting or in broader Christian culture that we often will know how to use in a sentence, but if somebody tried to pin you down on a definition for it, you maybe wouldn't quite know what to say. And I believe that today, discipleship is a bit of a church word. Now, it's a buzzword in Christian culture, and yet for every person ready to talk about discipleship, there is somebody ready to give you a new definition of what it is. And so today we're going to look at what discipleship is. What is a disciple, and what is discipleship? As one of our pillars for ministry here at St. Timothy's. But more importantly, in response to Jesus' call, a whole lot is riding on the questions, what is a disciple and what is discipleship? And so we're going to look at our text from the Gospel of Mark today as we get started. And this is going to give us some insight into answers to these questions. But right off the bat, I want to admit to you that I used to think these were really weird stories. When I started reading the Bible a little bit more carefully, looking at what the text was saying, and actually kind of letting it hit me, this story came across as really strange. And here's why. You know, you think about it. Simon and Andrew, and Simon is Peter. Two fishermen. These are two guys at work. And then you read in the story, this other person shows up and says, hey guys, follow me. And they're just like, work's done for today. They leave their nets right there and follow. And then James and John, the same thing. Jesus shows up, follow me. And it says that they left their dad in the boats with the hired men. What is going on here? You know, if somebody showed up to your work, hey, you want to go? You're just going to drop everything you're doing and leave? I had this sense that there must be more to this story than I was reading at face value. And so to get into that, I want us to transport ourselves back about 2,000 years to the time of Andrew and Peter, James and John, to the time of Jesus. And in doing so, I think we're going to get to the heart of what a disciple is and what it means, what discipleship is. Now, at the time of Jesus, if you were a young Jewish boy, from an early age, you would have studied the scriptures with a rabbi at a local synagogue. In fact, our gospel story for today happens in this region in around Capernaum, which you can see right up at the top of the Lake of Gennesaret, which you might know better as the Sea of Galilee. In this green Galilee region where Jesus has been going about preaching. And so there's Capernaum, and this right here is actually the archaeological site of what they know to have been the synagogue that was standing in the town of Capernaum at the time of Jesus. There's a little bit of debate about how much updating and renovation has happened, but they know that these walls and this foundation, the very synagogue that when Jesus taught in Capernaum, he would have taught in. The synagogue that if you were a young Jewish boy of the day, you would have come into to study with a rabbi, committing large portions of the scriptures to memory. By the time you were about 12 or 13, you may have memorized the entire Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Committed to memory. The book of Psalms. You would have been intimately aware in tune with the writings of the prophets. You would have learned how to read, understand, and interpret the scriptures. And at the end of this time of study, as you studied with this rabbi, if they deemed that you were worthy, that you had the right stuff, you were smart enough, you had what it took, you'd be invited to be a part of the rabbi's Talmidim, his group of apprentices or disciples, the people who would continue to sit at the rabbi's feet and learn the scriptures and the way of life that this rabbi taught. If he deemed you worthy, he would say, come and follow me. Be my disciple. And yet if you weren't, if for whatever reason, you weren't good enough, you didn't have what it took, the rabbi would say, go and learn the family business. And you could imagine the experience, the rejection. No, you're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. To Peter and Andrew, John and James, would have been told, go learn how to fish. And then one day, as these young men were out fishing, applying the family business, this traveling rabbi, one who had been traveling around the region of Galilee, preaching and teaching with authority, this rabbi whose reputation preceded him as somebody going around proclaiming that the very kingdom of God had come near. And he shows up at the shores of the lake as you're fishing. And to the ones who weren't good enough, who had been rejected and had been told, go learn to fish. Rabbi Jesus came with an unearned, undeserved, gracious invitation. Come and follow me. And so they left. They dropped it all right there and followed Jesus. And as you look at the other stories in the Gospels of Jesus calling disciples to himself, you see it over and over again. In Mark chapter 2, you see Levi, a tax collector, a man who would have been despised by his peers. Because a tax collector of the day didn't really have a regular salary. Rather, the Roman authorities would tell them, you know, here's how much you need to collect from everybody, and everything beyond that is going to be what you get paid. And so these tax collectors were viewed by their peers, by their countrymen, by their fellow Jews, as exploiting their own people to get wealthy. And yet Mark 2:14, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they were scandalized by the ways of Jesus. Your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners. He has followers who are unworthy, uneducated. And yet Jesus comes to the unworthy, to the sinners, to the failures, to those who weren't good enough and didn't measure up by the standards of the world that they lived in. And he came with a gracious invitation to follow, to sit at his feet and learn a way of life that is abundant, and to receive the gift of life that is free and eternal. Not only does the story repeat itself in the Gospels over and over again, but it repeats itself each and every time we gather together around God's Word. Each time you hear God's Word preached, each time you sit across a table or in a living room with a brother or sister in Christ and a Bible open between you, Jesus comes to you with his gracious invitation. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, the truth is that at the end of the day, everyone follows something or someone. We all have role models. The people that we looked up to as having achieved the things that we want for ourselves. We see advertisements, influencers, politicians clamoring for our attention, saying that their way is the best. Have you ever given much thought to who and what is shaping your life? The voices that we expose ourselves to. Who is influencing the way you live? Who do you follow? There's no end to the number of voices that are calling out to you saying, follow me. They want to influence or even dictate the way that you think and live and act. And we may not think of it that way, but I think it's true. You think about those tech giants in this area that we live in. Social media companies like Facebook or Google. You know, where does their money come from? Advertising. People paying to get their message in front of you. Now, a recent study showed that the average American, this is going to mess you up. I almost don't believe it, but I kind of do. The average American is exposed to somewhere between 4 and 10,000 advertisements daily. They're flashed in front of you as you scroll online, as you watch TV, as you listen to the radio. The media we're exposed to, it's constant. Clawing for influence. Buy this product. Dress this way. Pursue this career. Vote this way. And yet all of those things overpromise and underdeliver. The nice clothes go out of style. The new shine wears off on the car. The politicians break their promises. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, said those other things are like thieves. All they want to do is take. They steal. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. To be a disciple means to be someone who follows Jesus. Someone who trusts that the way to find abundance, meaning, purpose, joy, and peace in this life is by finding it in Christ. Someone who believes that when Jesus says, "I came that you would have abundant life," that he really meant it, and that he is faithful to deliver on his promises. It's to trust that when Jesus says, "Forgive your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," not only did he mean it, but that it's the way to abundance. When he says, "Love your neighbor," when he says, "Go and make disciples," that he meant it, and that it is the way to abundance. But it's also to believe that when Jesus says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep," that he really meant it and that he did it for you. When he says, "This is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins," that it was really for you. That when he said that he would lay down his life as a ransom for many, he was talking about you. A disciple, simply put, is someone who follows Jesus. And discipleship is following Jesus together. It's when people gather together as a community, as a family of faith, in the name of Jesus, to learn from God's word and from one another how to better follow Jesus. How to grow in trust, knowledge, and love of Christ. And it's inviting others to do so as well. Jesus calls that being a fisher of men. It doesn't mean that you're the one with all the answers. It doesn't mean that you're the one with a perfect life. It means being like the disciple Philip. And we hear his call story when he was called to be a disciple of Jesus in John chapter 1. Jesus comes to Philip with some familiar words. What does he say? "Follow me." And then Philip goes to his brother Nathanael and he says, "We found the Messiah. We found the one we've been waiting for. He's here." And Nathanael's response, and maybe there was even a little bit of cynicism about it. There's doubt. He says, "Isn't he from Nazareth? I think nothing good comes out of Nazareth." Maybe you've had the experience before. You're telling somebody about Jesus, and the response feels like, "I don't think anything good comes out of Nazareth." A rejection. But Philip's response is instructive for us, and it's encouraging. Nathanael says, "Does anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." He doesn't argue or fight. He doesn't pull out from his vast store of apologetics knowledge or biblical knowledge or profound doctrine. He doesn't make a tour de force case for Christ. He merely says, "Come and see." He extends the invitation to investigate Christ for yourself. He doesn't feel the pressure, "I need to save or transform or change anybody," but rather to invite his brother to come and investigate, to come and see the one who can. Discipleship is following Jesus together and inviting others to do so as well. At St. Tim's, we consider discipleship a pillar of our identity and vision. of what it means for us as we think of who we are responding to the invitation and challenge of Jesus to follow him and to invite others to do so as well. To sit at his feet and learn. To sit at his table and fellowship with one another and with Christ. To pick up the cross and follow him. Knowing that the way of Jesus, the way of discipleship, is a gracious invitation to new life, abundant life, and eternal life, found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.